Thanks for sticking around. And this will build nicely on the last presentation. I received some grant money through Georgetown Environmental Initiative grant, and some of the funding that helped us prepare for this particular study came from Council on State and Territorial Epidemiologists as well as NACHO. I want to thank John Davies Cole, who is not here, who is my partner in crime when it comes to environmental health research in the district. And I have no conflicts to report as well. So we've heard today about indoor air exposure, some of the issues around smoking. Many people are not aware that as we're experiencing climate change, and particularly heat waves, our air quality goes way down. So we're seeing an increase in ozone, particulate matter, we are seeing an increase in hospitalizations as a result of that. We're just beginning to collect some data to associate those two. The other thing to keep in mind is that as we're experiencing more carbon dioxide in the air, a lot of plants like ragweed love to grow in this high enriched environment with carbon dioxide. So we're seeing longer pollen season, plants that produce more pollen, so stronger allergenicity. And so we're seeing huge impacts, particularly on kids, as we have hot days, long summer days that extend into months, particularly in the district. And so we're anticipating and we're beginning to see through the data that respiratory disease and asthma will become more prevalent and severe because of the pollen, also molds, and the air pollution that we're measuring. As was mentioned earlier, 6 million U.S. children experience asthma attacks annually. Low-income kids are much more likely to have experienced an asthma attack and less likely to receive preventive care. The most prevalent chronic disease in childhood, and I agree with the former speaker, is that it's asthma. 7 million children in the U.S. Have been diagnosed with that. It's the most common cause of school absenteeism, and it accounts for 14 million lost school days annually. In the district, asthma is a major health problem. It has a higher prevalence than anywhere in the U.S. Compared to the general resident, low-income, minority, and D.C. children are at greater risk. I'll show you some data in a minute that we did with some of that grant money from NACHO. We are also seeing an increase in not only ER visits, but hospitalizations and deaths. The rates for ER visits for asthma are nearly 12 times greater in D.C.'s poorest neighborhoods than among its most affluent, and that's a physician at Children's National. So part of the data that I'm going to show you actually because of a cooperative contract with the district, we're able to get hospitalization data. And our students were able, my epidemiology students were able to crunch out some of this data for us. And so you can see that the 0 to 9 year old age range is quite prominent, as well as 50 to 59 years old. And we looked at data from 2007 through 2010. When we look at race, it's very obvious that there are huge disparities in the hospitalizations by race. The blue bar represents blacks, and then we have white and other, and very small unknown categories. So the purpose of this particular study was to look at how can we message to parents of asthmatic kids to alert them to these high-risk days. They might be in school, they're encouraged or forced to go out for recess, and it may be 90, 100 degrees, poor air quality. And what we learned later was that many of them did not have an asthma action plan as well, but I'll share that in a little bit. So we decided to look at aligning the study with the EPA's Environmental Justice 2014 document that really looks very specifically at working with communities who are overburdened by pollution and to help empower communities to take action. And so we worked with Health Communicator to say, okay, we're going to have a focus group. How do we actually develop risk communication messages? And also, what is the best way to get these messages to parents of asthmatic kids? And I should say that we focused on the African American families because of the data that we found in the preliminary pilot study. And so we recruited 26 parents. We were actually, we had a budget for $50 for the hour for each parent, a grocery card, and we allotted for up to 12 people. Well, we were incredibly successful with the first round, not so much in the second round. What we did was we worked with a community group called Breathe DC. They were hosting a week for asthma camp for kids. And the parents were required to be there all day, they had handed out flyers so whoever was interested could participate in this one-hour focus group. As I said, it's qualitative methods, and we really did a lot of dialogue, some open-ended questions, but a lot of dialogue about what the struggles were and how they got their information about poor air quality days, and if they knew of the connection between heat waves and poor air quality. We first started to look at what was already being done. So we worked with the health department, we worked with the asthma coalition in the district, and we worked with Breathe DC. We interviewed them to see if there was anything already in place to communicate risk, and there was not. And so we decided, after we found out a little bit more about the parents' needs and frustrations, how best to design this message. What I'm going to share with you now is just a series of data about that first focus group. So we had, it was IRB approved, and we had some preliminary demographic questions before we started the focus group. So the majority of parents there, their children were 8 to 10 years old. The camp was really designed for this age, but there were younger ones and a little bit older that were not part of the camp, but they also had children, actually several families had all of their children had asthma. We asked the question about what the parents' age was, primarily 40 to 49. Mostly female. We did have a few men in the group. All African American. And the highest level of education that was completed was a high school diploma. And I can tell you, one of the very energized parents was actually a grandparent, 75 years old, who cares for her granddaughter after school, and actually followed through with the second part of the study as well. So some of the questions around our discussion: how do you prepare for asthma related to weather? Some people said, well, I just walk out the door and I figure out how hot it is. Somebody else said, well, you watch Fox News, and someone else says, I would never watch Fox News. So there was this dialogue and a very healthy conversation, very respectful, but very much a sort of a support group atmosphere. And how often are you aware of poor air quality outside? And they were very confused by red days and yellow days and orange days, and what does this mean? But they knew that red was usually pretty bad. There was a lot of conversation about working better with the schools, particularly with the teachers, that there was the majority felt that the kids were, even kids with asthma action plans, the teacher really didn't understand what that meant, and their kid would typically be hospitalized after being outside to play recess, was the general consensus. I put together some packets of some messaging ideas to get it sort of to get us launched in thinking differently about how they might learn about poor air quality days. And interestingly, everyone owned a cell phone. Not only one of the 26 parents had a smartphone. And so they were very clear they needed a simple text message that gave them specific information about the following day so that they could prepare their kid for that following day. There was also information I presented on the EPA school flag program, and I'll show some pictures of that in a little bit. EPA has a program online called Air Now, and they have a text messaging system, and if anybody wants to see the text, I have it on my phone. They also have the smartphone version is much flashier, more sparkle, but the one that comes just via regular texting is pretty long, and we'll talk about the responses from parents post-text messaging. I did have a conference call with the EPA reps on the Air Now program. They were stunned and surprised that somebody actually knew they had this program. They don't have any budget for this. They don't have any tracking mechanism except for if schools do the school flag program, they can register online. But that's their only way of knowing if schools are participating. We needed to set up, the communications person set up every parent that wanted a text message because it's very complicated, which is not a good thing. And EPA is going to get a list of recommendations after this. And we needed their phone number and the carrier to be able to set up the text message. The air quality index forecast for the next day, it comes up good, moderate, and there is a sheet that I will pass around that shows good is green, moderate is sort of this yellowish color, and at the end of the column it tells the parent what that means. So if it's moderate, the air quality index is moderate, then that's for very sensitive people. But as it goes into more severe days, the most severe color is purple. That means everybody needs to stay indoors. So it's very explicit about what that parent should and shouldn't do for that day. And so they liked that a lot, and all of the parents got this sheet mailed to them with the gift card if they decided they wanted to do the texting as well. So this is a picture of the school flag program. If the schools decide to do this, they have to get their own flag maker. The EPA actually has people on their list, but they have to get the budget. They have to have somebody put the flag up, take the flag down, and they have to train the school. Faculty as well as principals and staff and kids. And so our next process is to pilot this program in a couple schools in the district and look at hospitalization rates once the school flag program is in place. Overall, the parents were very enthusiastic about the text messaging. There were technical limitations, as I said, where really parents and myself needed to get registered because it was very techie language to be able to register for this, just the texting. There was a huge desire for more communication with the community and the schools. They were not aware of any asthma support groups and really felt that would be helpful to them. When they signed up for the text messaging, you receive one every single day between 3 and 4 p.m. for the next day. They felt that it was helpful, and they actually referred other people to this texting program who had children with asthma. They really feel that the message is quite long. There's like one message, then there's the second page two, and you have to get to the very bottom to find out what the message is, which is air quality index is good, moderate, whatever. And so it needs to be revised a bit. There should be a way for people to just go ahead and register themselves without somebody having to get their phone number and their carrier. They feel very strongly that there should be a liaison between the schools and the family, maybe the person that puts the flag up, whatever. And so for our next study, we're going to hire somebody that can do that. And the registration process should be able to be done offline. Most of these folks did not have internet and did not have a computer. They had to go to the library to do it. Thank you.